As we begin this new year, there's no better place to be than in church and worshiping the Lord. I actually have a sermon today, or a teaching, about biblical disciplines. And I will try to stay within my script as I go off script quite a bit. But I was sitting with some pastors earlier this week at a breakfast, and so many of them said that they write out their teachings. And I thought, I used to do that, but then I got into bullet points, and I know I go off on rabbit trails sometimes. So I'm going to try this. I wrote it out again for today's sermon. But as I was preparing for today's sermon, I realized that the book that I was fixing to be pulling from was something that Mike D had been teaching from for the past few times he's brought up and been teaching about the celebration of discipline. And so I encourage you guys to get this book. It's a great book, and it has encouraged me since Mike started teaching on it. And so I'll be pulling from this quite a bit, but he's also going to be taking us in February. I told him, I'm not going to take your series from you, but I'm going to prep them and remind them what you've been teaching all along. And he will pick up where he's at as well in this series on discipline. So in my introduction, I put, as I begin this brief series or overview that I will teach on, I realize that great minds think alike. Mike D and I have been thinking in this way through this book called Celebrating Discipline from a book by Richard Foster. I do not desire to step on anybody's toes, but I hope to enhance what Richard Foster and Mike D have been talking about with the spiritual disciplines. What better time than the new year to really set forth and try to draw closer to the Lord in this way? You'll hear me reference over this time how people in the world will say, you know what, I'm going to get in better shape this year. I have this goal this year. And guess what? By February, they're done. But I would encourage you to look at the disciplines of the Lord biblically, draw closer to Him. That way, when you look back over 2023, you can see how you're closer to God in that way. Interesting enough, this same word, discipline, is something I talked about years ago. If you recall, when we were all in the trenches of having younger children. Now, some of us still have younger children, as me and my wife do. But I taught a series about biblical parenting and went over many different topics. One topic was about boundaries from a biblical perspective and rewarding positive behaviors and consequences for negative behaviors with our children. I pointed out in the scripture how this is shown by the Lord with His own people throughout the Torah and in life stories of His children. For the sake of time, I will not go over them here, but you can see how He meets their needs by supplying water, shelter, clothes, and then He rewards them with the giving of land that they did not cultivate. And He also disciplines those who go against what He says. I also taught in the earlier series how we needed to get our children to appreciate discipline. Yes, children, those who have already been grown and went through the catechism piece with us and been baptized, I have encouraged your parents to teach you how to love the discipline. A couple of times I have heard the children tell someone at the DC, thank you, when they have been corrected. This is the same for us. When the Lord corrects us, we should acknowledge Him for that blessing, so we do not continue in our sinful ways. As Proverbs 3 says, do not reject the discipline of the Lord. For whom the Lord loves, He reproves. He corrects, even the son or the father corrects the son and daughter whom He delights, is what that passage teaches us. In the same way, God corrects us, and we should be thankful for that. I also know that younger children are getting older, and many will be or have already went through that catechism piece. With that being said, some of you may already be doing the next step and have identified what it is your child often needs, and oftentimes it's intentional what you're teaching them, or unintentional what you're teaching them. I believe we need to be intentional about helping our children mature in the Lord. As a pastor's here, we encourage you guys to grow in the Lord. We give you paths in which to seek the Lord and grow in Him. At times, things happen out of necessity with maturity for you guys, along with your children. I've seen children in many, many ways have to grow up when a mother or a father passes away. I've seen children over the years that I've lived on this earth have to participate in paying some of the bills. That grows them up faster than those who have not experienced that same thing. Let me remind you, as talking, Mike D. has talked about in this book, meditation. Taking time aside and meditating on the Scriptures. Talking about prayer and praying to the Lord, as I know each and all of us do. Hopefully you do that daily. And fasting. Fasting's not easy, but that's something that will draw us closer to Him through this process of wanting to be aligned with Him. A lot of times, again, we're going off script and we're still doing things, but whenever we can call it what it is, give a definition to it. I do this all the time, even in my own therapy. I'll be doing something and then I take a class or I read a book and I go, oh, that's what I've been doing all along. Oh, this is where I can enhance that piece. I can make it better in the same way we should be doing that with the Scriptures. I believe we all try to do these spiritual disciplines at some level. I do a lot of things, as I shared. This is the same with spiritual disciplines like prayer, fasting, and meditation. The best byproduct of doing these spiritual disciplines are that they draw us closer to thinking like the Lord as well. So in other words, it's a byproduct. We all want to get better. We all want to be in better shape. But whenever we're focused on the Lord and we're doing prayer every day, we're teaching our children because they're watching us. When we are reading the Scripture and they see us do it on a routine basis every day, the byproduct is they start to read the Scripture. When we're meditating on it and memorizing the Scripture, what do they start to see? They see how we love God's Word and we want to put it within us and practice it. The byproduct is they continue to see how we live and we continue to build a positive legacy. Isaiah 55, 8 through 9. Do we think like God? Are we close enough to thinking like God? Well, in Isaiah 55, 8 through 9, it teaches us we're not. For it says, in 55:8, my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than yours, and my thoughts than your thoughts. He's our Father. In that same way, our children think like children. They act like children. And yet we need to help them start to align with adulthood. We also need to trust in Him even when we don't get our way. All right. Continuing on in verse 10 and 11 of that same passage of Isaiah 55. For as the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth and making it bare and sprout and furnishing seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so will my word be which goes forth from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, without accomplishing what I desire, and without succeeding in the matter for which I sent it. You see, the Lord is the one that can help us mature. He can help align us to what He is thinking for our life. A lot of times we pray and we fast and we don't get an answer. That is His answer. He knows the bigger picture for our life. A lot of times a kid will ask for a mitt or a baseball bat, and they want it right now, but we know that if we help them earn it, that is teaching them a bigger lesson in discipline. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." We all struggle to be in that mindset daily with God, and we have to refocus ourselves. Maybe minute by minute, but we can do it. A parent has a plan for a trip, but the child is focused on only one thing, and that thing can consume that child or that person. They are single-minded, not thinking past themselves, and this is not biblical. Adults must think past that one thing and want and ask if this is for the larger benefit of what we will experience. How are we benefiting our children? In 1 Corinthians 13:11, it says, "When I was a child, I used to speak like a child, think like a child, reason like a child. When I became a man, I did away with these childish things." We have to get past the minimal piece and wanting just that significant thing so quickly. When talking with my daughters recently, who they are maturing, who like your children are maturing and getting older, I asked them what discipline meant. So I'm asking my 8-year-old and my 10-year-old this question. My 5-year-old is still going to think like a child. I said, "Can you imagine what they told me?" "I think you can." "What's discipline mean to you, Hannah, Rebecca?" They said, they smiled, they said, "Well, it's when somebody gets in trouble and you have to discipline them as a parent." And I thought, from their perspective, and that's a true definition of what discipline is. I smiled, I paused for quite some time. I even went on later on that day with them and talking with them. But later that night, I took even more time to meditate and think about that. They weren't incorrect, but I needed to start to transition them into the second meaning of what discipline is. And that's a biblical discipline. A parent has to discipline their child. They have to learn to discipline themselves. They have to learn to take time and understand the bigger picture of things. What I mean by this is a skill of disciplining yourself for the future good. I also realized later that night that discipline is the next to this next generation is not common, like it was in our days growing up. It was not considered a skill, but just something you knew back in the 80s and 90s. However, now you as a parent must realize that this skill that you may have gained just because that's the way the world was back then, they now live in a world of instant gratification. And if you are going to give them everything in place of working to earn it, then you are not teaching them biblical discipline. When I wanted a new baseball mitt when I was a kid, my parents made me earn it, helped me to focus long term on it, and did not just buy it for me because it was baseball season. They made me play with that old ratty mitt, and they reminded me after the season, if you want a new one, you need to start saving your birthday money, you need to go do jobs for your neighbors, earn that money. They helped me think things out long term. Today's parents do not do this with their children, which does not teach them discipline at all in the world, and nor does that teach the biblical discipline that we need to ingrain in our children. When you do that, I want you to think. I gave these out years ago. I just found a bunch in the back. Is it a positive legacy we're teaching our children? Or are we going to teach them how to struggle in life for the future? Think about that discipline in that way. And continue to draw closer to the biblical boundaries of what discipline means. Hebrews 5. 12 through 14. Let's turn over there and see what that has to say. It says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone to teach you the elementary principles of the oracles of God, and you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he is an infant. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." That's our next step for our children, for those youth who have taken those steps of baptism, who have went through that catechism. We have to teach them to strive in this way, not to want to continue to have the milk in the congregation, but to want the meat. When you work out, I was just talking with my daughters this week about working out and how painful it can be, but it's a positive thing when we are struggling physically as well when we're building those muscles. And whenever that happens, our body desires more nutrients, not just milk. It wants the meat to rebuild those cells in themselves. When we are living in such a way and building those biblical skills of discipline, your body and your mind will align with the living Word of God. Each will see the meat of the Word and not just the milk. You will want to do more for the Lord whenever you're striving and you're doing these things that God has set forth for you. You will, in effect, be building that positive legacy and instilling that in your children. Stay with me now. Setting out to get in biblical shape for the Lord. It's not going to be easy. Neither is that goal of the world who wants to start working out today. Actually, they set forth that goal before New Year's Eve, and then New Year's comes, and they still want to indulge in their delights, and they'll eat today, but they'll start working out tomorrow. That's always their goal. And so they may have bought a gym pass and went that direction, hoping to fulfill that by 2023's end. But many in the world today, or possibly starting tomorrow, we must also set our goals to get into better biblical shape and be more in His Word. As it says in 1 Timothy 4:7 through 8, as I premise this whole teaching on, it says, "Have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women." I did not write that. That's in the Bible, so don't get mad at me. "On the other hand, discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness. For the bodily discipline is only of little profit, but godliness is profitable for all things, since it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." It is a trust, I'm going to continue on. It is a trustworthy statement deserving full acceptance. "For it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. Prescribe and teach these things." These are the things we got to do. We have to do this for the sake of the next generation, teaching them these disciplines. This will allow us to draw closer to our God and think as He does and walk as He did, as Jesus our Messiah. Again, how we do this? We start by practicing the spiritual disciplines of reading the Scripture, meditating on the Scripture. Whenever it says Selah in the Psalms, that means meditate on it. Think about it. One of the books that I'm also reading talks about how there's a pastor back in World War II that would take one verse and have his congregation, before he spoke, meditate on it for 30 minutes before he would speak on it. Memorize the Scriptures, praying and talking with the Heavenly Father, fasting and communing with Him on topics of prayer, and then acknowledging His answers and blessing when He receives them, even when they are not what we desired. Because He knows the bigger picture. Let me talk a little bit and go off script. Let me talk a little bit about not getting an answer from the Lord. When you don't get an answer and you don't get what you were hoping for, you need to sit back and meditate on that, because and thank God that He's not giving you that, because He knows the bigger picture in your life. And perhaps that's what He needs from you, is to be satisfied with just sitting with Him and knowing that He is the only one that you can trust. We can trust Him more than we can trust ourselves. Stick with me, I'm almost done. The kids are going to be sad because they're not going to get their snacks. But that's okay, because you're all invited to go with us to lunch. As we prepare for this journey of strengthening our walk with Him in the biblical disciplines, let me pause to reflect and give some simple instructions. Then I will be done for today. I have also been gleaning from another book from another brother named Timothy Keller, and I'll be teaching from his book in the future, which I will. He talks about preparing ourselves for walking with God in such a way that we truly get to know Him and allow Him to train us like a trainer at a gym. He uses this analogy and shares that if we want to get in strong biblical shape, we must also prepare ourselves just like those who are heading to the gym today. Now, I'm going to read part of this as I'm doing something in the back because I always have an illustration for you guys. So give me some time. You can look at the ark. I'll be right back. But I'll keep talking. We must get in correct biblical clothing or think about where you might actually do these disciplines like prayer and meditation. We also need to think about what clothes it may be we need to get on. Can you still hear me out there? All right. What clothes you may need to get on to be in shape for the Lord. You also need to talk to your significant others, your spouse, your children. Let them know what you're doing so that way they won't bother you. So get the correct tools you will likely need to build your biblical faith and draw closer to the Lord. Find a comfortable space, uninterrupted time from your children and your family, or perhaps you let your family know, as I said. By doing this, we get in the correct way to get in shape, just like those who go to the gym. Because if you go to the gym in a suit and tie, you're not going to be able to run or work out because the clothes will restrict you. But being back in biblical shape, right? You guys think I'm funny. Don't I look better prepared to go to the gym and work out? I have the right clothes on. Timothy Keller continues with this analogy and says, a good coach puts you through exercises and what they need to go through. They are ways to cause stress or put pressure on the biceps, forearms, quads, different parts of your body that help to build the muscles. This is how you get in shape and build muscles, and it is not comfortable. God doesn't want us comfortable. He wants us to draw closer to Him, and when we do it, it will be uncomfortable. A bad coach can truly harm someone when putting them through this much stress. We have the best coach and trainer in our Heavenly Father, the creator of our bodies. Who knows if we exercise too little? That will put not enough pressure at all, and our muscles will decrease and break down, and we will age faster. However, with the exact and right amount of pressure and training, we will build those spiritual muscles physically and mentally to draw closer and stronger to Him. And those skills that we build today will help us and our children in times of difficulty in the future. And it will help us reflect His glory in our behaviors and choices in life today. We will be building that positive legacy for our children. They need to see us in those disciplines of faith, reading the scripture, praying and meditating, so they will take that on themselves as they start to eat on the meat of the scriptures. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we come to you now. On this first day of this new year, as the world sets out, Lord, to set forth and get in better shape physically, Lord, help us to also get in better shape physically, but also mentally and biblically according to what your scripture says. Help us to set aside time each and every day to pray and have a relationship with you, O Lord. Help us to take the scriptures and to read them and apply them in our lives when we have a decision to make for our family, for our children. And in so doing, Lord, may we meditate on your scripture and memorize them for times of stress, for times of discomfort. They will come in the year ahead. Yet if we're drawing closer, Lord, you put us in a place that allows us to grow spiritually. It allows us to get through those trying times. And you are the one, the best trainer of trainers. You are the one that formed us from our mother's wombs. And you are the one that can draw us closer to you. So help us to be light and salt in this world ahead, so we can glorify your kingdom even more than we did last year. This I ask through your Son, our Savior. Amen. Yeah, I may still look crazy. That's okay. But I believe each and every one of us has a desire to move forward and draw closer to the Lord. All right. Let me take this off.